Have you ever wanted a concise resource on the history of Christianity from the time of the apostles through today? Well, we have just the book for you. It's titled The Church from Age to Age, A History from Galilee to Global Christianity. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Church from Age to Age by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, The Church from Age to Age, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It seems something, well, in Christianity today, it seems something foreign. Some would say, positively Roman Catholic, medieval even, for someone to go to their pastor and actually in the privacy of the pastor's office or the privacy of the church building, confess sins. Why would I want to confess my sins to a pastor? I don't want my pastor to know what I've done. It seems even stranger, even more jarring to our modern sensibilities that pastor would actually pronounce the forgiveness of sins that is said to be the very forgiveness of Jesus Christ himself. How could someone say such a thing? It's jarring to our sensibilities, this confession and absolution. Is it found in Holy Scripture? Does it have its basis in Holy Scripture, private confession and absolution? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about that, private confession and absolution in the Scriptures, for the first half hour of this hour. Pastor Bob Dargitz will be our guest. A little bit later, we're going to do a sermon review that is in many ways familiar and in many ways a little bit different for our listeners. The sermon and the preacher is familiar. Pastor Will Wheaton, a regular guest here on the program. But the occasion of the sermon, well, familiar and not so much. Well, he's leaving a congregation he served for over 20 years to become worship director of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He'll remain a guest here on Issues Etc., but he's saying goodbye to his congregation. And in this sermon that he preached on Sunday at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, he does say goodbye, but he also preaches Christ and Him crucified. We'll review that sermon in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. Pastor Bob Dargitz is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Orange, California. He's going to be speaking this Saturday in Whittier, California, at a catechism convocation for the people. His presentation is titled Exegetical and Systematic Considerations in Application to Individual Confession and Absolution. Pastor Dargitz, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
You say that 16th century reformer Martin Luther really struck the perfect balance in his presentation on what confession and absolution is and how it ought to be practiced. What do you mean by that?
Well, in his large catechism, he makes the comment that he says, we've always urged that confession should be voluntary and that the Pope's tyranny should cease. That's an important thing because if confession is something that's required of everybody, then it becomes a burden instead of a joy and a blessing. But then as he concludes his statement about confession in the Large Catechism, he says that when he urges us to go to confession, he is doing nothing else than urging us to be a Christian. And what he's trying to help us with is to understand that the blessing that's found in confession isn't, as was commented on in the article in the Abiding Word, it doesn't confer a better or a more powerful kind of forgiveness than the kind of forgiveness that comes from the preaching of the word, but it makes a special application of the gospel to human beings. It gives the individual a greater comfort, a certainty that forgiveness has been confirmed upon that person personally. I guess I liken it to what you find where there's a lot of people that want to lose weight, but there's an awful lot of them that find that they need to get into something like Weight Watchers or whatever to finally make it something that's successful. There's a lot of people that want to learn things, but most of them find that they either sign up for a class or they get a tutor, because when they just try to do it by independent study, there are people that are successful, but an awful lot of people find that that's not the way that they'll ever really get ahead.
So let's talk about the biblical foundations for private confession and absolution in particular, some of kind of the theological considerations that come into play from the very outset. You say that we really need to begin with God himself and how it is God that defines sin and commands perfect obedience to his law. Talk about that.
Well, this came as an important consideration to me because I had the privilege of knowing another noted radio commentator, Dennis Prager. I was on the very first show that he ever did, and he used to do Religion on the Line out here in California. Dennis and I had a conversation once, and he made the comment to me, he said, what is it about you guys, you Christians, that talk about, you know, God forgiving sins? He says, how does it make sense if you sin against me, why do you ask God for forgiveness? I'm the one that needs to give forgiveness. I'm the one that's been sinned against, not God. And I pointed him to, because Dennis does finally have a scriptural base, unlike many of my other Jewish friends, but he likes to go back to the Hebrew scriptures. I pointed him to Psalm 51. And I said, while, you know, hermeneutically, we have to take a look at it as maybe even a bit of hyperbole on God's part when he says, when he has his spirit cause David to say, against thee only have I sinned. It sort of puts in perspective that sin is first and foremost against God. And it's God that defines what real sin is. You and I, we're not in a position to judge our neighbor on the basis of our feelings. And we're called upon not to judge our neighbor on the basis of our ideas of right and wrong. But instead, we are all, on the other hand, exhorted to point out to people what God has to say. And that needs to be the basis. And in Corinthians, the very book that says don't be judging your neighbor, it also shames the Corinthians because they didn't do anything about a guy that was sleeping with his stepmother. And he says, well, even the heathen know better than that. So, you know, God is the one that establishes what's right and wrong. He's absolutely right to do that. And he is the one that first and foremost is the one that sinned against. And that's the reason why he's first and foremost the one that is there to pronounce forgiveness. Especially because, hey, finally, God is the perfect judge, and I say sin has been judged. Those that don't take advantage of the blessing that Christ offers us, well, their judgment will be harsh and severe. It's one of the things, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But on the other hand, so great is this forgiveness, and it's something that God offers, and hey, I can't punish you in the way that God could, and I wouldn't want to. But God is absolutely righteous, and God is absolutely gracious. I wish I could forgive as well as God does, and empowered by His Spirit, so sometimes I can at least approximate it.
Well, and see, that's kind of picking up on Prager's question that seems to be kind of the point, and that is, if all we had was, well, I sinned against you, so you're going to forgive me, your forgiveness is never going to be perfect or complete. So I've never really, truly, completely forgiven of that sin, but it is God alone who can and does, in fact, perfectly and completely forgive sin. We've got about 2 minutes here before the break. Talk about the nature of God's, his perfect judgment of sin, but also, as you said, his perfect and complete forgiveness of all sins.
Well, God is perfect in his judgment of sin, not only because he is the one that establishes from properly his sovereignty what is right and what is wrong, but he's also the one that sees sin perfectly because there's nothing that escapes his awareness. He knows all the mitigating factors. He knows all the things that go on, all the motivations, the things that you and I can't see. And he's perfect in his judgment of sin. He's no respecter of persons. And so the wonderful thing about God and that is that, again, he's perfect in his justice because with you and with me, there are things that will escape us, and there's times that we'll make excuses, if not for ourselves, for others. And God doesn't deal with excuses. God deals with redemption and forgiveness. That's why we don't want to come before God and try to suggest, well, this isn't really a sin or that isn't a sin. We want to come before God and say, hey, God, if you call it a sin, it's a sin, and thank you. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer me in our Lord Jesus Christ. God forgives not only the sins that we know, but the sins that we don't really understand and know, but that are nonetheless sins.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about private confession and absolution in the Scriptures. Pastor Bob Dargitz is our guest, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Orange, California. He's going to be speaking this Saturday in Whittier, California, at a catechism convocation for the people. His presentation is titled Exegetical and Systematic Considerations in Application to Individual Confession and Absolution. Stay tuned. About another 10 minutes with Pastor Dargitz. Then we'll do a sermon review.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gush here. When I'm not out fixing up something with Country Bob's or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 18th of April. We're coming to you live. We're talking about private confession and absolution in the Scripture with Pastor Bob Dargitz. Pastor Dargitz, You have an insight here that I think is very important. I'd like you to kind of give us the scriptural foundation for it, if you would. And that is, people will often get it wrong. They say, well, we confess our sins so that God will forgive us, rather than, I think, as Luther clearly teaches, that we confess our sins because God is forgiving. In fact, your insight is that God's love and mercy is his preeminent attribute. It is the one that kind of all his other attributes work in service of. Talk about the scriptural foundation for that.
Well, thank you. Yes, it is true, and I know this is one of the places that, while I have a lot of good friends that follow the reformer John Calvin, and I expect to see them in heaven, one of the things that sort of detracts from their being fully able to use everything that God has given us in terms of the gospel is their holding up of the sovereignty of God as the most important attribute of God, as opposed to the love of God. We find that there are times in life where two things seem to come into some kind of a conflict. The Jews found that with the question of circumcision. If you have to circumcise on the eighth day, but what if the eighth day falls on a Sabbath? One of the two needs to be the more preeminent. And I find that some of our Calvinist friends, that when they put predestination first, put sovereignty first, they get problems in places like predestination, and they contradict the scripture. This 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God would have all people to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. It doesn't give us any of this concept of double predestination. Predestination in the scripture is always used as a doctrine of comfort, a doctrine of the gospel, and when it's used in a law context, that's not the way that the scripture uses it, and it's not helpful. We can live with some of the mysteries that are there in the scripture, but know this, know for sure that God is loving, God is forgiving, God is merciful. God gives us in the epistle of 1 John something that Lutherans use in their liturgy all the time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us our sins. It's helpful if we can get a good Greek grammar like the one produced by Concordia by Dr. Jim Vels. You find that is a general condition. It's something that, we come confessing our sins, and we know that God is faithful and he's just. He's faithful to his promises. He promises that he will forgive sins. Sometimes we don't want to go to another human being and try to confess a sin because we know that they're inclined to just, use it to our disadvantage, and we have nothing that we've gained. This is particularly true with, say, politicians. If you admit that you were wrong about something, well, then, hey, your opponent will just publish your admission and make you look even more like a fool. But with God, we come before him, and he promises to forgive. He's just because it's in his perfect justice that Jesus atoned for all the sins of the world. Every sin was paid for. That's why the word that Jesus uses from the close, tetelestai, when we find that in some of the Greek papyri that have been dug up, particularly in Egypt, we find that it's used in a secular way on some of the bills with the equivalency of our paid in full. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price. He ransomed us not with gold or silver, but as Peter says, with his holy, precious blood. All the sins of the world have been atoned for by what Jesus did in terms of his perfect life of obedience and his perfect obedience on the cross, both the active and passive obedience.
So where does Christ specifically authorize his church to do what we're talking about here, and that is to pronounce particular absolution to particular sinners with particular sins?
Well, he does that twice. He is recorded as having done that in the Gospel of Matthew, and then once again in the Gospel of John. Those passages are significant passages. We have, first of all, Matthew 16:17-19. Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father who is in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth," and then NIV has, "will be bound in heaven," not one of the better translations, "and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Actually, the scripture uses a future perfect passive. And so in essence, it would be something more like, whatever you bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you forgive or loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. I had the privilege of having Dr. David Scares, one of my professors at Concordia in Fort Wayne, and he did a great job of pointing out a number of the different truths from the scripture. One of them, he helped us to understand that the apostle was equivalent to the Aramaic term the shaliach, which is a specialized ambassador. That's no small deal because, well, when an ambassador says something, as they reflect the truth of what they've been authorized to reflect, that is the authoritative word. If the president tells the ambassador to some other country that this is what I want you to say is the position of the United States, the ambassador faithfully says what he's been commissioned to say, and it is the position of the United States. Well, even much more, it's the position that God has allowed us to state. That's why it's been well said that if you hear the pastor pronounce the forgiveness of sins, it's as if you heard Jesus himself pronounce the forgiveness of sins. That's no small thing. It's no small comfort, especially when one's troubled by, troubled by sin as they should be troubled, and fearful about what the consequence of sin as they should be fearful. Thanks be to God that in the atoning work of Jesus, we can go forward and we can know that God doesn't hate us, God doesn't want to throw us into hell, God doesn't delight in the death of a sinner, but instead he seeks to reconcile us to himself, and he has done that in the personal work of Jesus.
You say, Pastor Dargitz, that while Scripture does not require private personal confession and absolution, it ought nonetheless be received and used as a blessing and not as a burdensome obligation. What do you mean by that?
Well, when I used to teach Old Testament at our Concordias, both in Ann Arbor and in Irvine, I used, of all things, a Hill and Walton textbook. They make the comment about the law of God as it was used amongst the Old Testament people. It was not a burden. It was a delight. We find that the same thing is true in terms of with our children. Our children, they like to have parameters. In the case of confession, it is something that, again, it's not required of us, but it's there for a lot of people because, they need to hear that constant kind of reassurance. They need to be able to have these things that weigh them down. When the Spirit has really done his work of convicting the world of its sin, well, then they need to be also convicted of that forgiveness and to have that be done in an incarnate way. We're big on incarnational theology, and God has blessed us with an ability to be able to hear plainly and clearly that our sins are forgiven. It's no small gift to the church. I haven't heard any wife yet that said, "Well, my husband tells me too often that he loves me." We can't hear enough about the love of God. And that's why it's important for us to be in church regularly, to be able to hear the proclaimed gospel, to take advantage of the sacrament, or we have a multimedia experience of the gospel, something that can speak to all of our senses and to hear so clearly, God loves us, God loves us, God loves us, and forgives us. And private confession, in like manner, is another very personal way of being able to hear about the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and to know that God has a place prepared for us in heaven because of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, a few more minutes with Pastor Bob Dargitz talking about private confession and absolution in the Scriptures. It's something that, as I said at the beginning of our conversation, is unfamiliar and a bit jarring to our sensibilities today. But because it is so firmly rooted in Scripture, because it is commanded and promised by Christ, it's something that we need not fear. Now, I think what bars a lot of people personally from partaking in private confession and absolution is that fear. But it's nothing to fear whatsoever. Is it a little difficult? Is it a little awkward? Yes, but it's nothing to fear. It's a blessing and a gift, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Bob Dargitz is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Orange, California, and he's going to be speaking this Saturday in Whittier, California, at a catechism convocation for the people, and his presentation is titled Exegetical and Systematic Considerations in Application to Individual Confession and Absolution. He'll be with us for a few more minutes on the other side of the break. Then we're going to do a sermon review of Pastor Will Wheaton's farewell sermon. Farewell to his congregation of almost 22 years, St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. A sermon review in just a few minutes here on Issues, Etc.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life youth around the world.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
For the last few years, pro-lifers in America have touted the number of youth growing among their ranks. Other countries also boast of youthful pro-life movements. Ireland's youth pro-life movement began in the early 1990s when a well-publicized case saw a young girl who had been raped say she wanted to leave the country for an abortion. Some said Ireland's youth wanted legalized abortion. Not so, said Youth Defense, who organized pro-life efforts among college students. Over 20 years later, Youth Defense is still active and abortion is still illegal in Ireland.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
That's the Day of Resurrection, sung by Christ Church Cathedral Choir of Oxford. You know Easter's still going on, don't you? It's a season of 50 days, and all throughout those 50 days, you can listen to the very best of the church's music for the Easter season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. LutheranPublicRadio.org, that's what's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. The very best, 24/7, of Easter music for the Easter season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Pastor Bob Dargitz is our guest. We're talking about private confession and absolution in the Scriptures. I mentioned before the break, Pastor Dargitz, and I know that you have long experience with this, so speak, if you would, kind of in that pastoral tone towards someone who says, look, I understand what Scripture clearly teaches here and what the Reformation has brought forward to us from Holy Scripture, but it's a scary thing to do, to go confess your sins. Talk to such a person, if you would.
Well, thank you, Todd, and that's a great question. There are a lot of things in life that are scary. I, for one, am not one that likes the idea of ever having to be cut with a knife. But, boy, if you have an inflamed appendix, well, now all of a sudden the idea of being put into the hands of other people, having somebody open you up with a knife to take out that which would otherwise claim your life and give you great, great pain, well, I don't know that anybody looks forward to an operation, but I know that we certainly look forward to the results that come from such an operation that, again, ultimately saves our lives, gives us a better ability to carry on, a better quality of life. And it's a lot of what confession and absolution is about, is that, yeah, it's tough to come before anybody and to speak of your sins. But we are encouraged by such a thing as to treat sin the way that it ought to be treated. And, again, it's not as if we're really hiding these sins from God. Psychologically, sometimes we can think that, you know, well, if I just don't say anything, I'll not only hide this from other people, but on some level, maybe we think that we're even hiding these sins from God. Well, it's important for us to get it up and out of us. I appreciate, especially in Psalm 51, how David proclaims how when he is finally forgiven, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Oh, there is no salesman like a satisfied customer, and we can be at our best. We can let our light so shine before humankind that they can see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. When, as we do liturgically in our churches Sunday after Sunday, we first come and we are cleansed. Isaiah had the same thing in Isaiah 6. He was so eager to join the heavenly choir and to be able to sing praise to God, and then he realized, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. And then God institutes what's the equivalent of an Old Testament sacrament. He has an angel take a coal from the altar and touch his lips, and he pronounces absolution. And then Then Isaiah is charged and ready to go. And when the Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Well, now Isaiah is ready. Here am I. Send me. And that's the kind of stuff that makes eternal differences this side of heaven. That's the kind of thing that when we are in heaven and we look back at the time that we spent upon the earth, that's what we're going to want to have as things that are the good works that follow after us. Those are the kind of things where we are prepared to walk in the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in, as it says in Ephesians 2:10. It's all by God's grace, and it's something that God equips us for, as the third explanation, the third article that Luther gives, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith, even as he calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth. So all glory goes to God, and in this kind of a thing, private confession is one of the ways that God has given us an opportunity to have the gospel come with all of its power and life-changing ability into our lives. It's a wonderful thing.
You folks listening on the West Coast, I highly encourage you to attend a catechism convocation for the people. It's this Saturday, April the 21st, in Whittier, California. Our guest, Pastor Bob Dargitz, will be speaking along with Issues Etc. regular guests Dr. Larry Rast and Alfonso Espinosa. Find out more about a catechism convocation for the people at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Bob Dargitz is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Orange, California. Bob, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, thank you for this wonderful privilege. May the Lord bless you always.